Well, welcome to the Vine TV, everyone. I'm so thankful that you have made space to connect with us today. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Tyler West, and I'm the founding lead pastor of the Vine Church here in Spartanburg. And I know we've said it already, but I want to say it again to each and every one of our fathers in our Vine fam. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for being a picture of what a loving Heavenly Father looks like. And today I'm excited as we celebrate Father's Day to continue in our series called Arrows. Now, what we've been talking about in this series and what it's all about is whether we're living our life on target. Because you see, in God's Word, we can live our life on target by having God-centered relationships. And so for each and every one of us, that's what we're going to be talking about through this series, because maybe we didn't live our life on target in the past and we've missed the mark just a little bit. The blessing and the good news is it's the perfect time for each and every one of us to draw our bow back, let our arrow go, live our life on target so that we can hit the bullseye in every relationship that we're in by having God at the center of it. So what we've been doing through this series that's been really fun, because I may not be able now because we're starting to meet again at the Y, I may not be able to read it real time, but I'm telling you, after the fact, I check each and every comment so that I can get to know you more through this season. So what we're going to be doing is answering two questions. So wherever you are, wherever you're listening, go ahead and leave us a comment, your answer to these questions, so that way we can know each other well. The first question I have for each and every one of us is this. Who is your favorite Disney character, hero or heroine, whatever that looks like, and would you trade places with them? Who's your favorite Disney character, and would you trade places with them? Now, Star Wars fans, it still counts as Disney if you're a Star Wars, if that's your favorite character, whatever that looks like. Who's your favorite Disney character, and would you trade places with them? So for me, mine are a little different. Growing up, my favorite Disney characters were actually Flounder and Sebastian from Little Mermaid. If you know, it is what it is. Seriously, it is what it is. So I love those two characters. I was a big Thumper fan in Bambi. I don't know why, but I love some Thumper. Man, like, it just, that was probably like my favorite Disney characters in a way growing up. A little bit different, but if you know anything about me, that was it. But I would say as I got older, my favorite Disney character that I wouldn't trade places with, but I really connected the most with was the Lion King. So Simba in the Lion King. I connect the most with Simba because if you know my story, you know my father was killed by a drunk driver when I was two. So I grew up without my earthly father, just like Simba did. And I spent my life learning to be who God created me to be without my earthly father here with me. So I wouldn't trade places with Simba, but realistically, I probably connect the most with Simba in The Lion King. So I can't wait to see and read who your favorite Disney character is and just give a yes or no if you would trade places with them. Second question I have for each and every one of us today is this. What was your least favorite food as a child? And do you still hate it or do you love it as an adult? What was your least favorite food as a child and do you still hate it or do you love it as an adult? Now, if you know anything about me, my favorite food, and this food's going to be in heaven, is macaroni and cheese and nanner pudding. You know it. If I could eat it right now, I would tear it up. I'm telling you right now. Favorite food is what it is. You can tell from my physique, favorite food. However, least favorite food as a kid, two of my least favorite foods were broccoli and carrots. Couldn't stand them. Wouldn't eat them with anything. But right now as an adult, if you put a bowl of broccoli and carrots in front of me, if I could eat it without being really sick, I'm telling you, I'd tear it up. I'd tear it up right now. So those are two foods that I didn't like as a child, but I love as an adult and would tear it up if you put it in front of me right now. Isn't it crazy how our taste buds change as we get older? I can't wait to read yours and see if you kind of change your taste palette or foods as you grew up from being a child. And the reason that we're talking about our childhood a little bit today is obviously it's Father's Day, but it goes hand in hand with what we're learning from today as we talk about this idea of knocking the arrow. Knocking the arrow. Now, what that looks like when it comes to knocking the arrow, I don't know if you've ever played with a bow and arrow or you know what that looks like. I'm not talking about the notch on the bow that helps you line that up correctly. That could be called knocking. I'm literally talking about the notch at the back of the arrow when you knock the arrow onto the string so that way you can prepare it to release well. I'm talking about knocking the arrow, and that's what we're going to be talking about when it comes to knocking the arrow today, as we are setting up arrows to release well so that when we release them, they live on the mark and hit the target that is the bullseye. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in two places of Scripture. We're going to be in Psalm 27, and we're also going to be in a familiar story in Luke 15. Now, if you're looking for where Psalm 127 is in your Bible, kind of cut it in half, and you're going to land somewhere in Psalms, get to Psalm 127. We'll get to Luke 15 after that. I love that our Vine production team each and every week will make sure that you can follow along with us in Scripture. You'll see that on the screen here and on the screens wherever you're watching. But maybe, just maybe, you like to do things digitally. And I want to show you today how you can follow along with us on the Bible app, because we partner with them each and every week. And it looks something like this. You'll want to download the Bible app from your favorite app store. Once you do that, you want to open it up. Now, once you open it up, you want to click on the More tab. Now, once you click on the More tab, you want to click on Events. Once you click on Events, you want to click on Location Services. Make sure those are on, and you're going to see the Vine TV Worship Experience, the title of today's message, Knocking the Arrow. You're going to see all the Scripture that we're going to walk through, a place where you can take notes, but also a place where you can connect with us throughout the week if there's any way that we can pray for you or serve you in any way. So if you've got your Bible today, let's dive into Psalm 127 and see what the Lord has to teach us about knocking the arrow. Psalm 127, we're going to read straight through it, says this: Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. We talked about this last week, about how our foundation has to be strong in our relationships, and God-centered relationships are built on a strong foundation because it's the one the Lord built, not the one man built. So that kind of goes hand in hand with what we learned last week. Verse 2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Now pay attention to this, 3 through 5 specifically, as we talk about knocking the arrow today. Verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So in other words, what I love about this is children are a heritage. They're like arrows in a quiver. And those who have many children, or those who have children, will not be put to shame when they are contested against. Now, if you know anything about me, I don't have tattoos. But if I did, there's one tattoo that I would get. And I always said, if I ever had kids, I would have arrows, a tattoo of arrow with their birthday somewhere on me. I don't know where that would be or what that looks like, but that's exactly what it would be. And it goes with Psalm 127. So you're going to see today, as we're talking about knocking the arrow, we're going to literally be talking about how arrows are our children and how we can help them live a life on the mark. Now today, I will be full disclosure, I don't have kids. I'm not married. I don't have kids yet, but I do get to lead kids, and this is how I get to lead kids, and this is what I mean by that, is even though I don't have children, God has brought our Vine kids and our Spur students and our family ministry here, and I will be held to account on how I steward them one day. So today, as I'm talking with you, I just hope that you have open eyes and open ears for the Lord to do what only He could do, because I'm talking to myself on how we can lead our children well as parents, as fathers, as leaders of children, as we learn and talk through knocking the arrow. So let's look at this familiar story and learn about four ways that we can knock the arrow and set our children up well. So if you've got your Bible, keep flipping right to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to be in Luke 15. And whether you've been in church or not, this is going to be a story that's very familiar to you. And to be honest with you, I believe it's a perfect Father's Day story. But it's going to go hand in hand on how we can knock the arrow, how we can set our children up well. Luke 15, verse 11 and 12, and it says this: Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Now, if you've been with us when we've talked about this in the past, what this looked like is during this time, when Jesus was teaching this, what would happen is the oldest brother would get a double share of the estate and all the other brothers would get what's left over. So in other words, when the youngest son came to the father right here, he said, "Give me my share," which was a third of the inheritance. He wanted it right away. Now, what I love about this is the father didn't fight the younger son. It just says he went ahead, he divided the property between them, and he's getting ready to send the youngest son on his way. Now, this is so important because I can see as I continue to read this story and learn from this story, I see the father realizes there's nothing more that he can do for the younger son but to prepare him to be launched well. So number one, if you're taking notes, how we can knock the arrow and set our children up well is this: set up children to release well. As leaders and parents, we can set up children to release well. That's what the father is doing here with the youngest son. He realizes there's no way to fight to keep him here any longer. He is ready to release and go out into the world no matter what. And when I look at this, I see that the father is living open-handed. You know, when I think about a parent and I think about a bow and arrow, I think about what you have to do is you pull the arrow back, but eventually the back hand has to open up so that the arrow will set free and will release and will go and hopefully hit the target, but it has to release one way or the other. For each and every one of us, that's what I want us to see as leaders and as parents for our children. We have to live open-handedly. We have to do that to have a clean release. That's why baby dedication is so important. And we'll be doing that later this year. But baby dedication as a parent, I want you to know, that is telling God you are living open-handedly with this blessing that is a child that you are called to steward. Just like I told you a minute ago, I'll be called into account for how I stewarded all of our children and our family ministry and our Vine Kids and Spur student ministry because we are stewards. We are stewards of it. Anything that God has given us, we are stewards. That's why here at the Vine Church, we don't talk to you about a number. We don't talk to you about a percentage when it comes to tithes and offerings. We talk to you about God being after your heart because it's all His anyway. He doesn't have to have anything for us. He doesn't expect anything else from us. He just expects us to steward well what He has given us. The same goes for our children. Because we just have to be reminded when it comes to it, while we have to steward well, we're going to leave the earth the way we came in it, with nothing. Some of us came in the earth, most of us, screaming, crying, and naked, right? We may leave that. Anyway, that's a different message, different time. Won't open that one. But just like arrows in a quiver, all arrows are different. I don't know if you've ever seen a bow or arrow or if you've ever held a bow and arrow, but the grain of the wood and how the arrow is cut affects its flight. It affects how it releases. It affects the dynamic in which that it goes to hit the target, which it is intended to hit. And children are the same way. And so we must adjust each arrow that we are shooting, each child that we have, we must adjust how we are sending that arrow to release well so that it hits on target. This is why it wasn't a surprise to the father that the youngest son was asking for his share of the inheritance. As a matter of fact, we'll learn about the older son here in a minute, but the older son went into the family business. He was ready to go into the family business, and we're going to see his intentions of why he went into the family business in just a little bit. But he goes into the family business, and the younger son learns the family business, but it's not right for him. So he is ready to release. So this isn't a shock to the father because he realizes that the two arrows are different. That's why I want to tell you, married couples, wherever you are, if you have children, as a pastor, I want to tell you, I see it so much when it comes to counseling, when it comes to folks that are struggling in marriage. If we don't set up our marriages to be able to set our children up to release well, when our children release from the marriage and we're empty nesters, the marriage falls apart. And this is what I mean by that. Don't neglect your children, but have God-centered relationship where you understand the priorities of your relationship. And it's supposed to be your relationship with Christ first, your relationship with your spouse then your relationship with your children, because God gave you those children to steward so that they could be sent out in the world to be all He created them to be eventually one day. And so I want to give you hope and I want to give you encouragement, parents. Maybe today, as we go into this season and we're resetting throughout all of this mess that's happening in the chaos in this world right now, maybe God is reminding you your relationship priorities and a God-centered relationship also has to say this marriage is going to survive our children leaving the nest. Because what better example is there for your children than to see a marriage that's thriving even after they're gone? And so that way, when they have problems and they're stepping into marriage and they need some help and they need some guidance, they can go back to mom and dad for advice instead of going to mom in one corner and dad in the other and their spouses that are there on the back end. Now, I'm not knocking you if you've been divorced. Understand, this isn't a pot shot. This is what I'm trying to tell you is, maybe if you are married and you have kids right now and there are kids inside of this marriage, this is a great reset point to be able to prioritize your relationship correctly so that you can set the children up in this relationship to release well in the world. Verse 13 says this: not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. Apparently, what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. I'm just saying. So, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You see, he went through everything. He went through his inheritance really, really quickly. But I want you to see what I noticed in this story and what I keep poring over in Luke 15. It's such an awesome chapter in the Gospel of Luke. But I see, remember he rejected the family business, which was being in the fields. And yet when he was on hard times, what did he realize he had to do? He had to get to work. And where did he go? In the fields to feed the pigs. So I want to tell you right now, parents, believe it or not, the kids are listening and the kids are watching, and eventually it will come into practice sooner than later. For the youngest son, it came in at what could have been a rough time, but was probably the worst time in his life. And so number two, as we talk about knocking the arrow to send our children off well, not only do we have to prepare them to release well, we've got to empower our children, not hover over them. So empower children, don't hover. Empower children, don't hover. What I'm saying is, what I just said is, the younger son remembered what the father taught him in the fields, and it literally helped paid off for him when the difference of life and death came up. When everyone else was struggling for famine, he had some expertise. He had some skill. He could go into the fields. Now, we're going to see that maybe he wasn't rich. Maybe he wasn't what he thought he could have. And it definitely wasn't the life of luxury he had when he had his share of the inheritance. But it was a matter of survival. And what his parents taught him helped him survive. His father empowered him to work and be able to use his hands to work in the fields. This is why I want to tell you right now, helicopter parenting doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Now, I'm not pot-shotting you for that. I don't have kids. I ain't got a PhD in it. I will tell it to you this way. When I look at this story, I see the father's empowering his son. His son said, I want my share of the estate. The father didn't fight him. He just empowered him and sent him on his way. Now, every arrow is different. Every child is different when it comes to empowering them. Everything looks different. Sometimes where we can get stuck when it comes to leading children or even parenting is, what happens is we'll overparent and we will hover over them. And what we do is, when we hover over them, it creates helplessness. And what children don't learn is the problem-solving skills to get through the consequences that we neglect them to be able to walk through by empowering them and walking through the consequences with them instead of eliminating the consequences so that they don't learn how to grapple with it. You see, in this story, like I said, as I'm learning through it, even myself, even more, the youngest son realized he had to grapple with a consequence. There was no food to eat, and so he had to take a next step. He didn't play the blame game. He didn't say it was somebody else's fault. He didn't say if his father would have just given him the same inheritance that his older brother would have had. He didn't say any of that mess. Instead, he realized that the consequence of not working would lead to him dying. So in a matter of survival, he remembered how his father empowered him. And so when I think about this and I look at what what this could look like for us. It's kind of like an equilibrium when it comes to that hover and empowerment. It's a scale you have to have. And I think back to driving a 5-speed. How many of us can say we've ever driven a 5-speed or a manual or know how to? I remember when I was learning, my brother-in-law, Tim, he was teaching me on his Karmann Ghia. He had a Karmann Ghia at the time, and that was really fun to get to learn on that. But if you've ever been that, you realize that there are two pedals that make the most sense, and it's not what's on an automatic, all right? The two pedals that are so important when you're learning a manual is the clutch and the gas. And so you have to learn the equilibrium that too much clutch is a problem and too much gas is a problem. So you got to learn the equilibrium about how much clutch and how much gas to give. How that plays out in leading and parenting is this. If we are way too heavy on the clutch, what we end up doing is suffocating our children by hovering over them. And it's basically like locking them in a basement, burning. When I grew up, they burned all the Disney movies, said you couldn't watch them because they were evil. Like, we do all that. And what happens to that child when they're 18? They're like the prodigal son at the beginning here. At 18, they launch out in the world and they don't know anything about consequences. And what ends up happening is they go straight to the wild living because they don't understand boundaries. But on the flip side, if we give the car too much gas, you know, it lurches forward. And that is like the undisciplined child that doesn't understand boundaries. And what they think is, because I want it, therefore I take it. And what they do is they end up abusing and using people, and they don't have great relationships. So as a parent and as a leader, what we have to do is help children by empowering them and having that equilibrium of not having too much clutch, not having too much brake, but just the right force applied will help us be able to empower the children that we are called to steward in our care to be able to be exactly who God created them to be. Because we got to realize, just like a bow and arrow, an arrow is meant to be launched. An arrow stuck in the quiver is not an arrow that is worthwhile, is not an arrow that has purpose at all. And so we have to understand, we've got to empower that arrow, not only to be able to release well, but we got to help that child. We got to empower that arrow to be able to live well. And what we got to do is understand that in order for that arrow to fly, there has to be struggle and tension on that bow, on that string. And we've got to help our children learn through that. So that way, when we release them out into the world, they're ready to thrive because they understand that some struggle and tension is okay. Let's go on to verse 17 and see how this story plays out. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, one of my favorite verses in the gospel for sure. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up, he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. I told you that's one of my favorite parts is verse 17 of the gospel, when he came to his senses. Parents, I want to encourage you right now. Leaders, I want to encourage you right now. Proverbs 22:6 does stand true. You train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. In other words, at the beginning of this story, we would think the prodigal son had departed from the way that he should go. But instead, because his father empowered him as he was growing up and set him up to release well, he didn't depart from the way that he should go. Instead, he came back to the father when he needed him the most. And so number three today, as we lead and parent children to release well, to go into the world well, not only do we have to prepare them to release well, not only do we have to empower and not hover, number three, to keep relationship, let children go. To keep relationship, let children go. When it is their time to go, we have to let them go. In other words, the father knew that if there was any way to have a relationship with his son, he could no longer fight to keep him within the home. He had to empower him, give him his share of the estate, go out and make the mistakes he needed to make, and be ready for him when he was ready to come home. And that's what ended up happening to the younger son, because parents, what greater thing is there leaders in the church? What greater thing is there when our kids come to us for advice, when our kids come to us when they're struggling with something, instead of going out in the world and the world telling them how they can handle it? How much greater is it when that happens? How much more of a God-centered foundation can they be set upon when that happens? And so parents and leaders, as we're open-handed and ready to release well and ready to steward those children well, let's remember to raise them up in the way that they should go. And what does that mean? Let them know who God is early and often. God is not them. The world is not centered around them. So God is not them. And parents and leaders, we are not God either. We are not set up to be our children's savior. We are supposed to point them to the savior. So we should have those conversations about God early and often. We don't need to live vicariously through our kids so that way we can have something and some accolade to go, because let's see how that goes. It doesn't ever work out well. Instead, we want to help them learn to be who God created them to be and go all in on that. That means maybe they need to try 17 different sports before they find the one they're good at, before they find the one they were created to be. Parents, leaders, one of the greatest gifts we have is the gift of discernment. We can see what our children like and dislike, even if they can't see it. And so we have to help propel them into that, empower them into that. And we got to help understanding the way to keep the relationship with them is to let them go, is because sometimes you got to let them go out there and try it before we can see if they succeed in it. When I think about this, and the perfect example to me in the Bible of this is Mary with Jesus, okay? You know, it says she pondered these things in her heart when the wise men came, right? And I think about all the things Mary was pondering when Jesus was a baby in a manger. And I guarantee you, if Mary could have had her way, she could have kept Jesus close by doing what he did on this earth for 30 years before he started his earthly ministry. He could have been a carpenter in the family business, the one that made sense, the one that was safe, the one where she could keep her baby protected and spend all of that time with her as much as possible. But instead, at age 30, he had to let go. She had to let go of him so that way she could be in relationship with him for eternity, not just for the time on this earth. Because when she let him go, he went into his earthly ministry and he goes to the cross. He lives that perfect sinless life for us. He goes to the cross, dies for our sin, rises again on the third day. And now all of us can be in relationship with him, not just Mary. So she had to let him go. Now, do you think if she had her choice that Jesus would have done that, that she would have wanted Jesus to do that, her firstborn? Absolutely not. But instead, she realized to steward him well and keep the relationship, she had to let him go. When I think about that arrow we're releasing, we can't overcompensate too much. Leaders and parents, we've got to release and let it go and let it live a life on target so that it hits the mark that it was created to mark. Verse 21, then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I wonder how many times the youngest son rehearsed that line on the way home and thought of all the 17,000 different scenarios that were going to happen when he said this to the father. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what is going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and he pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all of these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, he doesn't even call him his brother, has squandered your property with prostitutes and comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You see, the thing is, before we get to the last way to steward our children well today and knock the arrow correctly, the oldest brother went into the family business. You see, he thought his works earned him the right standing in his father's eyes, instead of realizing that the relationship was all that mattered. You see, my friends, that's what we can see the difference in the oldest son and the youngest son is. The oldest son felt that he wasted his whole life because he thought his relationship with his father was ruined and that his father didn't love him, because he celebrated the relationship that he now had restored with the youngest son. You see, when we don't steward our children well, that's what can happen when we try to live vicariously through them and put them in the family business and try to make them live the life that we want them to live. It never ends well. We should want them to live the life that God created them to live. So not only do we have to prepare them to release well, not only do we have to empower, not hover, not only do we have to be in our life and understand that we got to let them go to keep a relationship with them. Number four, we have to realize you have one shot. Make it count. One life to live. Once that arrow is out of the quiver and it's on the bow ready to release, my friends, you can't put it back in the quiver. In other words, you can't put it back in the womb. No matter how hard you try to put the child back in the womb, you can't put the child back in the womb. Once it's out of the quiver and the arrow is ready to release, that is when it's time for it to go. And so for every one of us, I want to tell you, not to scare you that you've got one shot, make it count. I want to tell you that to say there's no better time than right now to be talking to your kids about who Jesus is, to be talking to our children about who Jesus is, what he means to each and every one of us, why he is so important, why he is our Savior, why he loves us, why he is who he is. And by faith in him, we can be set free from the death and the penalty of sin that all of us are born into. We have to teach our kids every chance we get on who Jesus is, because I want to tell you, parents, you know this, if you have older children, there comes a point in time where your kids aren't going to listen to you anymore. They just aren't. And you want to be there for them when they get to that lowest of low, when they come to their senses. You want to be there for them when they come to you for advice instead of going around to everyone else. So make the one shot that you have with them count. Because the small act of faithfulness you do by investing and showing them who Jesus is today will echo for eternity. This story that Jesus told 2,000 years ago is the parable we still share today about the father faithfully wanting a relationship with a prodigal who comes home. And so maybe you don't get anything out of today, or maybe you're just now tuning in and listening to what I'm talking about. And I want to end with a story today. Now, if you know anything about me, I'm a Dave Ramsey fan, Financial Peace University. We did that last year. We didn't get a chance to do it this year. We're going to be looking to set up a class again next year in 2021 so that all of us can walk through financial peace together. But I want to talk to you a little bit different about a different story about Dave Ramsey. And it's about how he is as a parent. So he writes a book about how him and his wife parented their children, and he talks about how when they were with their children, he always talked about the idea of a rope. You ever heard that phrase? I want to give you enough rope so that way you don't hang yourself, right? I used to hear that all the time as a kid. And so they did this with their children. He talks about one of his daughters, and he said, you know, as they grow up, they always talk to them about the idea of the rope. And what ended up happening is, as this middle school daughter now, she's ready to go out, so she's got her friends, and they're from all over town. And so the middle school daughter goes out, and they've given her enough rope to where she can go to the movies on her own and do some things. So mom goes and drops the daughter off at the movies, all right? She meets her friends at the movies. Well, her friends get together and they realize it's a hot summer day. And I mean, you know, the movie's great, but we can't talk in the theater. So let's go two blocks away and let's go to the ice cream parlor and let's get some ice cream. Nothing bad there. Innocent there. We can do that. Nobody's going to get hurt, right? Not that big of a deal. So they go two blocks away. They have ice cream. Mom pulls up a couple hours later. She doesn't see her daughter there and she's worried. She's worried she should call the cops. What in the world's going on? Where's my daughter? And all of a sudden she realizes that her daughter's down the street two blocks away at the ice cream parlor. What do you think happened to the rope that is trust between the daughter and the mother and Dave at that moment in time? They reeled it back in a little bit, right? Now, the mother tells the daughter, as any teenager or any middle schooler would know right now, they would roll their eyes and say, but Mom, I didn't get in trouble, but Dad, I didn't get in trouble. It wasn't that big of a deal, but how they presented it was the rope, and they said, well, listen, though, the trust is gone a little bit. I've got to take back a little bit of the rope, a little bit of the trust that I've given you. I've got to take that back. So the next time I drop you off somewhere, I'm going in with you. The next time you go to a movie, guess what? You've got a date until you can earn that trust again, and I can let a little bit more rope go back to you. So in those season and in that middle school years, as if you're a parent of a middle schooler or going into high school, you know it can be rough. It's a learning season as the children are learning to become who they are and they're getting their identity in life. And so this daughter that was in the ice cream parlor as a middle schooler now is in high school. She hasn't quite got her license yet. So she hears about the school party that everybody's going to go to, and she's earned trust with her parents. So she asks her parents, hey, can I go to this party? And so her parents realize, hey, we've talked to her about the rope. We tried to set her up to release well. We've empowered her to make great decisions. We understand that to keep a relationship with her, we got to let her go. And we've only got one shot at this. So we've given her the rope. So we're going to be there if something goes crazy. So the daughter is dropped off at the party. And just like a lot of high school parties, what ends up happening is the keg comes out. When the keg comes out, there's drinking all around. And the daughter goes and finds the phone. They didn't have cell phones at this time. Goes to find the phone. She calls her mother to come pick her up at the end of the driveway at the party. And the mom had just got in the door, and she's wondering what in the world went wrong. Has someone hurt her daughter? What's happened? Why in the world is she calling me to come pick her up so early? I mean, the party must have just started. And so she picks up a little girl crying at the end of the driveway, and she gets in the car and says, well, baby, what happened? Why did you call me to pick you up? And the daughter's crying and said, you know, they just started drinking, and I know the bad decisions I can make from that. And so I just didn't want to be around that. And I didn't want to be in a situation where I could hurt myself or hurt someone else. What do you think happened to that rope with that mom and dad at that moment? And you have all the rope you want, right? Like all of a sudden, they're getting, the lines are just thrown out. She can have every bit of rope she wants to because she continued to grow in trust not to make bad decisions so that she could be released well. Well, this same daughter, as she gets older, is going into postgraduate work, and she's got to go to school 250 miles away. Well, the family has a dinner to celebrate this wonderful achievement that's happening, and Dave gets up. And all of a sudden, he pulls this spool of rope out and he lays it on the table. And now you see what's on this spool of rope are little ribbons tied upon there. And one says all A's, and another says perfect attendance, and another says $1,000 in the bank, baby step one, right? Like another one says you open your first bank account. Another one says high school graduation. Another one says movie theater ice cream parlor incident. Another one says high school party incident. And all of a sudden what happens is Dave stands up and he looks at his daughter and he says this. I'm going to try to hold it together, so hang in here with me. He says, your mother and I realize that you're going 250 miles away. We've been preparing you for this your whole life, and we've been preparing ourselves for this, and we've been talking about the rope our whole life. But the thing is, you see, sweetheart, we don't own a 250-mile rope. So it's our time to cut the rope and give it to you because you've earned it. You've earned enough trust. You've earned enough rope to go out and be who you were created to be. And you see, with that rope, his daughter now does that with his grandchildren, and they talk about the rope and the idea of the rope. And parents, I want you to know, as a child, has a mother, as a child that has a brother and sister, that has aunts, uncles, I want to tell you, you may not realize it, but the investment you're making in your child matters. How much rope you give them matters, because when they launch out into the world, one day you're going to have to cut the rope. And by cutting the rope and letting them release well, you're going to allow them to thrive and be all that God created them to be. And so today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you this question. Maybe right now, as we talk about knocking the arrow and talk about releasing well and preparing our children to release well, you would say that in your life, Your family needs prayer to have God at the center of it. Right now, you're realizing that maybe you've messed up in the past, but today is brand new, and now you can live a life with God at the center of it. You can prepare your children to release well. You can empower them to be able to do what they were created to do, and you can understand that you got to let them go at one moment in life, but you realize, too, that you've only got one shot at this. And I'm going to count to three for a minute, and if that's you, and you can say you just need prayer for your family to have Jesus at the center of it right now to help teach you and guide you through it, I'm going to count to three, and you just slip your hand up for a moment, and you can bring it back down, because I want to pray for you real quick. One, two, three. If that's you, would you just raise your hand if you need prayer for your family right now? Go ahead and put those down. And for everyone that raised your hand, I want to pray for you right now. Dear Jesus, you see all these hands that are open and full surrender, that want to be open-handed with their family. They want to be open-handed with their children. They want to be open-handed with these arrows that you've given. So Jesus, I pray right now for each and every hand that's gone up for these families, each and every hand. I pray that you would just lead them and guide them. I pray that their eyes, ears, and hearts would be so in tune to you that they couldn't help but be all you created them to be as they steward these children who you created to be all they were be as well. So I pray right now, Father, for those families. You know the names. And I pray that as the pastor of this church, you would help me point to you and all that I do and help these families to be able to live on a God-centered foundation, live a life on target that will always hit the bullseye. And the bullseye is to seek your kingdom first in all that we do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And for everyone else right now, maybe for the first time you're coming to your senses, and it's time for you for the first time to stop trying to be the older brother, earning the love of the Father, thinking that your works get you into a relationship with the Father, but instead you realize for the first time you can only receive the love of the Father. You see, all of us are born into sin, sinners, destined for hell and sin leading to death. But God loved us enough that he sent his son Jesus to live the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, die the death, paying the penalty for our sins on the cross. But loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we can have life. And I want to tell you right now, maybe your earthly relationship with your father's bad. Maybe it is something that isn't to be desired. But I want to tell you that you've got a heavenly father that's waiting, that wants to wrap his arms around you and love you today. And the only thing you can do is receive it. The only thing you can do is receive it in faith by believing Jesus is who he says he is. As a matter of fact, John 3:16-17 reminds us this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now pay attention to this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, my friend, you've got a loving father that's waiting right now, that wants to wrap his arms around you. And the only way to have a relationship with him is trusting that Jesus is who he says he is. He's not here to condemn you. I didn't see that the father condemned the younger son. He just welcomed him into the family. And so today, I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. We're about to say a prayer for those who are coming to faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you, it's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, wherever you are, I'm going to count to three. And if you can say for the first time that you've given your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, get your hand up. For the first time, you can say you received the free gift of salvation. If you're watching online right now or listening throughout the week, please reach out to us. You're going to see a hand that goes up there. You can click on that. If you're listening, reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. Please let us know. We want to celebrate you today. We want to celebrate this decision because I want to tell you there are angels celebrating in heaven and there's a feast that is happening and a party that's happening. Just like when the prodigal son came home, The Father wants to throw a feast, and He wants to celebrate you coming home, and we want to be a part of that celebration with you. If that's you today, would you please let us know? And for everyone else, we're about to continue into awesome worship with Vine Worship, and I want to tell you today, I want you to rest in the love of the Father, and I want you today to know that Jesus is who He says He is. And parents, I know it doesn't come with a manual, but I want to tell you that you are raising your kids well if you just follow Jesus obediently, step by step, all along the way. I love you guys. Let's continue into worship.
Y'all stand and sing with us.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail.
Sing that again.
My God.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. I can't wait for next week. Mitch's message is entitled The Anchor Point, and it's going to be really great. We've actually got a really cool song that we're going to do with that next week as well. I'm going to pray for us, and we'll go about our week. Lord, thank you so much for so much blessing that you have just poured out on us. God, thank you for being our Heavenly Father and just loving us no matter what we do. God, thank you for filling this church with godly men and godly fathers. Lord, it takes being a dad to start to just begin to comprehend what it was like to give up your son for us. And I can't imagine ever doing that. But God, thank you that you loved us so much that you gave up your only son to die for us, to die for our sins so that one day we could be with you in paradise. Lord, let us not forget that as we go throughout our week, as we interact with others. I pray that they see your love in us and through our actions. Lord, I pray just blessing and protection for us throughout this week. And I pray that we can come back together next Sunday and just have an awesome, awesome worship experience again. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you next week.